A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Town with Nida Lamed Ches, Nida 38A. Pagination is 75. Counting up from the bottom of the page, seven lines. Omar Shmuel taught. Ein Isha Misaberes Violedes. A woman would not have a pregnancy, Ella, except for Lamasayim Vishivim Ve'echad. 271 days, l'masayim v'shivim u'shnayim yom, 272 days, or l'masayim v'shivim u'shlosha, or 273 days. Now, the concept over here, as Rashi explains it, is that a pregnancy is for 9 months, and those months are 30-day months for our calculation, apparently not regular calendar months. 9 times 30 is 270, and one additional day for the actual intimacy. So from the intimacy until birth is going to be 271 days. We know that sometimes pregnancy doesn't occur immediately. The conception doesn't occur immediately at the time of intimacy, and it could yet occur another day later, 2 days later, and that explains not only 271, but 272, 273, but at 3 days, it's masrachas, it's spoils, as we saw on Daf Lamed Daled 34b, we were making a distinction, possibly between a Jewish woman and a non-Jewish woman, but that's this concept, up to 3 days. You could still get conception, and if you do the math, it's 271, 272, or 273. Now, in a practical sense, we don't take medicine information from the Talmud and automatically assume that that's the way it is nowadays. Metabolism changes, so that even though Shmuel was well known for his medical knowledge, and this is a quote from him, that doesn't mean that you could walk out today with that information and find it factually correct in today's metabolism. Nevertheless, there is a concept here, an idea which can be learned based on this statement. If a person has anticipation that a certain date would be the birth date, what ramifications does that have regarding Shabbos? Knowing that if the birth occurs on Shabbos, there's going to have to be Chilul Shabbos, desecration of Shabbos. We don't really care about it in the moment because it's life-threatening and needs to be done. But the idea, if a person could ward that off, could make decisions that would make that not necessary, is that required? So apparently it's not intrinsically required, but the Gemara does record Chasidim Arishonim, the early pious ones, having this information, 271, 272, 273, from the time of intimacy, Lo hayu mishamshim mitoseim ala b'raviyah b'shabbos, they would only be with their wives from the night of the fourth day, meaning Tuesday night. Shelo yavo nishosehen lidei chilul Shabbos, so that their wives should not be the impetus for Shabbos desecration. As we mentioned, this is a little bit more delicate than it sounds, because it's not Shabbos desecration if it's Pikuach Nefesh, but these are the Hasidim HaRishonim, the early pious ones, and they found a way to avoid that type of desecration of Shabbos. The Gemara asks, but Revi'i Vesulo, only on the night of the fourth day? And the Gemara answers, Ema Merevi'i Va'eloch, from that night and on, for the remainder of the week, was eligible to have intimacy because it will not cause the remainder of the weeks the number 271, 272, 273, which has a certain remainder that doesn't end up as even same night of the week, when you divide it by 7, how much does it push it off in the week? So the night of the 4th day of the week and on till the end of the week will leave you in safe territory. But once you have that remainder of 5 and so on, it's going to push it off to a different night of the week. Rashi says, second line, Elamer viva elech avalo shlishi. But the night belonging to Tuesday, Velel Sheni, the light belonging to Monday, Umotzoi Shabbos, and the night belonging to Sunday, Motzoi Shabbos, lo, those were off nights for them, because the remainder, when you do your calculation of how many weeks and then how many days does it get pushed off in that final week, there was risk that it would happen on Shabbos. The birth would happen on Shabbos. Amar Mar Zutra says, "My Tamayu de Chasidim Arishonim, what's their source? Dichsiv." Now, their source presumably was observation. But what was their source in scripture, in tradition? Or how did they know that this is the norm and that anybody who doesn't give birth precisely on that date is considered a deviation from the norm? What's the expectation? Vayitin Hashem lo herayon. In the story of Rus, Hashem granted her pregnancy. Herayon bigamatria masan v'shivim v'chad havu. A pregnancy is bigamatria 271 days, so that's the length of the pregnancy. That's how long she's pregnant, the word pregnant. And then you have the additional days if it didn't happen immediately until it would spoil. So I mentioned that even though we're not going to be focused on this medical statement, perhaps it's only describing the ideal, the norm, the origin. We have such a concept as well, great tradition, that the rimon, the pomegranate, has 613 seeds. So people have counted and they don't come up with an even number. So one approach to that is that the original pomegranate was created with that symbolism, but since then there's been deviation, and so be it. But when you look at a pomegranate, knowing that that's the way it was created, so it symbolizes the 613 mitzvahs. In any case, in our time, that's not the understood norm with precision, but it does have ramification regarding the concept that if I can anticipate a Shabbos birth, do I have to do anything to avoid that, like the Hasidim HaRishonim? Do I have to do anything to avoid it? Or if it's going to happen, or I think it might happen, do I have to do anything to mitigate the amount of Chilul Shabbos that would occur? To be extreme, does a woman in her 9th month have to stay in the hospital waiting room because she doesn't want to have to go in a car on Shabbos? Does this have to be taken extreme? We obviously know it doesn't, but do any preparations have to be made? And the accepted norm is that some Shabbos preparations should be made. An arrangement, for example, for a taxi to be able to go to the hospital without having to drive is just an example. The Mechaber Simen Shin Lamed, Yoledes Hikechola Sheyesh Bo Sakana, a woman in childbirth is considered ill to the point of life-threatening, and so it is codified. And we will desecrate Shabbos for anything that she needs. The Mishneh Berurah in Sefkatan Aleph writes, V'lochein, and therefore, min ha-ra'uy le'isha shehigia l'chodesh tishii, a woman who has reached the ninth month, so in her case, she doesn't know whether she's going to give birth on Shabbos. This is not describing the expected precision that the Hasidim HaRishonim were looking at, but nevertheless, she's in her ninth month. Lahazmin b'chol erev Shabbos b'chol advarim anitzrochim la. She should arrange beforehand all the things that she needs. Deshema yizdam and leidasa b'Shabbos. Maybe the birth will be on Shabbos, and we shouldn't have a panic on Shabbos and have to desecrate Shabbos in so many ways. For lo tetzdorich lechal Shabbos, to the extent possible, she shouldn't have to desecrate Shabbos. So, in our time, the concept, if a person has on a phone the ability to have Uber, for example, so that it's a simple press and all the finances and arrangements are automatically made, that could be something of a consideration. Before such things, it was simply arranging the phone number for a Shabbos taxi. Some people purposely did it on a stored number, so they just have to press one number and it's a speed dial. Different considerations, but at least to be aware of this concept that if it's possible to limit the amount of Chilul Shabbos, it's not like we're so excited, yippee, it's Shabbos and it's so exciting to be Mechalel Shabbos. That's only if it already happened that there's a Shabbos need, then we do the Chilul Shabbos with determination, with pride, with confidence. But if it's possible to avoid it from before, within reason, we do consider that option. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.